comments, why we'll ask Brother Roberts to come and bring the message for us tonight.
Now, since he's got everybody confused, but that's okay. It's good to be here tonight. I'm thankful for another opportunity to be in the Lord's house. Everywhere I go, I'm always nervous when I go. People say it'll be all right. I know it's going to be all right because as soon as I get myself out of the way and allow the Lord to use me tonight, it's going to be okay. But tonight, as I try to make it a habit everywhere I go, for some that don't know me personally, I was saved at the age of 8 in the back seat of a car on my way home from church one Sunday night. At the age of 24, the Lord called me to preach in the passenger seat of a car on the way to my girlfriend's house at the time. So you see, the Lord's got a way of working with me in vehicles, and of course, every day, every morning, every afternoon, and I drive home, that's my me and Lord time. Why? Because it's quiet and I don't have all this racket or anything in my ears and in my head to distract me, but it's me and Lord time. But tonight I hope that we come this way to serve God. I believe that's why we as children of God come to His house and come to His sanctuary, is to serve Him. That's what the Lord wants from us tonight, is to serve Him without anything else in our way. And He wants us to focus on Him as children of God. As a child of God tonight, I want you to pray to God tonight that God's Spirit would move about freely. That's the way He wants His Spirit to move, freely tonight. And that's the way I want it to move tonight, is freely. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if I'm preaching and the Lord put something up on your heart, I beg of you to follow after God. Guess what? God can hear both of us at the same time. But tonight, what I want to start out with, and it's not what the Lord has gave me tonight, but it's just something that He placed upon me earlier while I was at the house trying to study. But in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." I thank the Lord tonight for that Spirit that He blesses us with and that power that He gives us. But tonight, as I was sitting there today and this week trying to study God's Word, to try to get a thought and a lesson for tonight, the thing that come to me was in the box. Are you in the box tonight? Preacher, what are you talking about? In the box. When I say in the box, that last song that they sung, "Without Him." Are you in the box tonight or are you outside the box? You know, there's a lot of times people want to say, sometimes you got to think outside the box. Well, tonight I want us to think inside the box, because if you're saved by the grace of God, you're inside the box. Inside the box of what? Inside the box of safety. Tonight, if you were outside the box, you were outside the box of safety. And what I'm saying is, if the Lord has drawn you and let you know that you're lost and undone without Him, if you take your last breath within the next few minutes or tonight or within the next week before you get saved by the grace of God, then hell will be a place that you spend all of eternity. I don't like to call it home, because home is where I feel safe. In hell, you're not going to feel safe. Why not? Bible teaches us about that, don't it? It said there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's not going to be a place of peace in hell. But let's get over here and read some on this. Inside the box. First and foremost, I guess we need to go back to the beginning and figure out why we have to be saved. Why? Adam was gave a law. I know a lot of you thinking, well, Adam really didn't break the law, did he? But you see, Adam was gave the law. It was Satan that beguiled Eve, or Satan, it was Satan that come in, and I'll just put it simple tonight, he come in and he tricked Eve. And Eve believed him, and Eve ate of the fruit. And then she gave to her husband, and he did eat. At that point in time, that's when the law was transgressed. That's when he died. Well, the Bible still says he was alive. He was. But he died a spiritual death. You see, when Adam was created, I believe Adam and Eve was created perfect. We don't understand that word too much, do we? I still can't comprehend it because I'm not perfect and never will be. But they was created perfect, I believe. Why? Because God created them. But what happened? The God of this world come in and tricked Eve, and then it all began. So, what this got to do with me? It's called the fall of man. When Adam sinned, that means everyone that's born from now until the time that this world comes to an end, that means you're born in sin. Now, don't get me wrong tonight, and I'll just touch on this just for a second. I believe until you reach that age, you were under the protecting hand of God. Well, what is that age? It's whenever God lets you know that you're lost. There's not an age limit. It don't matter if you're 5 years old or 6 years old. My sister-in-law was 6 years old when the Lord dealt with her and she got saved. Oh, that's too young. They don't understand. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God knows his business tonight, and I think us, the children of God, kind of need to let God let his business get done. So how do we get saved? How do we come about this? Well, as an 8-year-old boy, I'll tell you my testimony. That's the best thing to do tonight. When I was 8 years old, I remember being sitting in church, and I remember going home at times, and me and my brother would sit there, and we'd kind of joke about being lost. At a young age, let's tell mom and dad we're lost. But I'm going to tell you, when it come down to the point that the Lord drew me and knocked upon my heart and let me know that I was lost, it wasn't a game no more. Why? Because I had heard from a young age up. You see, what a lot of you don't know, I had a great-grandfather that was a minister as well, Brother Millard Roberts. And I got to hear him just a little bit. Don't remember a whole lot about him because he died when I was younger. But I remember hearing a few messages that was taped and listening to him preach. But when the Lord knocked upon my heart and let me know that I was lost, as I said, it wasn't a game no more. It became a life or death thing. And you see, you that are lost tonight, it's going to have to become a life or death thing. You've got to be inside the box with this thing. And what I mean by inside the box, you got to concentrate on you and God and what God wants you to do and where he is leading you to bow to seek him. You say, oh, the Lord does that too? Yes, he does. John 6:44 says, for no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. When the Lord draws you, and what I mean by drawing you, the day that he drawed me or the night that he drawed me, I felt like my heart was going to plumb beat out of my chest. Then when I got to that point, kneeling down in the floorboard in the back seat of the car playing Hot Wheels with my little brother over on the right side, that's when I turned everything over to the Lord. Well, how'd you get saved playing Hot Wheels? I believed. I focused on that. At that moment in time, I focused totally on God and what he wanted. You see, I believe tonight that every single one of us, before we got saved, we had a faith in something that was going to happen. I believed inside of myself that God was going to save me, but that wasn't enough. But when I got to that point and I declared everything else to be nothing and God to be everything, that's when the Lord saved me. So how'd all that come about? Over in the 10th chapter of Romans, we'll go there for a few. Starting with verse 11, it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And I'm going to tell you something else tonight. God is not a racist God. God saves black. God saves white. God saves whatever color you are. Hey, it don't matter who you are or where you come from. God wants to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The scripture also teaches us, Jesus himself doing the speaking, he said, it's not my will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You have to believe. It's something that you've got to believe within your heart, with everything that you've got in you, that is going to happen. An example I like to use with that, I grew up poor. I thought we was poor. Had beans and potatoes a lot. Had spaghetti. If we got ice cream and blackberry cobbler, it was because it was a special reason, special occasion. But I'm not complaining about the way I grew up. I thank the Lord for it. My parents may not have been able to give me the name brand shoes, the name brand clothes, but they gave me God. But as a kid, as I was getting at, how then should I call on him in whom they have not believed? At a young age, when I went to the Starwood grocery shopping with my mother quite a bit at a young age, didn't like it, but I got out of the house. I got to see something different. But when I'd go to the store, and I'm sure your parents are fixing to shake your head, yeah, and smile about what I'm fixing to say, but when we'd go to the store, I'd see something that I'd wanted. And I believe when I saw it, if I asked my mother, I believed really with everything in me that she was going to get it for me. Mama, can I have this? A lot of times the answer was no. But I believed. I believed within myself that my mother was going to get me this. You say, brother, what's this? What are you saying? When I went to bow before Christ and ask him to save me, I believed within myself that he was going to save me. And that's what you've got to do tonight. You can't have another thought. You can't have anything else upon your heart and mind besides being saved by the grace of God. My mom and dad was in the front seat of the car, and Dad was driving down the road, and as I said, me and my brother was playing Hot Wheels in the back seat. Guess what? And there three of them knew what was going on in the back seat. But I did. Why? Because I believed. I was in the box. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe you got to know what you're seeking after before you start seeking after it. Brother Tim Sailors has got a saying that he says quite a bit. You can't get saved until you realize you're lost. There's a lot of people seeking after the Lord today and don't even realize that they're lost yet. How do you know that? Heard people say that you've got to first realize you're lost before you can seek after God to be saved. As I quoted John 6:44, the Father has got to let you know that you are lost and separated from him. Once he lets you know that, then you can seek the Lord for salvation. But until that point in time, you're under the protecting hand of God. As I said earlier, it don't matter about the age. God don't look at age. So what else has got to happen here? How do I get inside the box? Chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians verse 10, it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. If you seek after the things of the world, and I'm going to tell you tonight, and I believe all of us can understand this, that there are many religions going around today. Microwavable religions is what I call them. You go in cold and you come out hot. You're not hot very long, though, are you? But these religions are teaching that you can sign your name, that you can repeat a prayer after them, that you can come up here and you can come up here and shake my hand. I'm going to tell you, you can come up here and shake my hand all night long. But you ain't going to get nothing out of me but a sweaty handshake. God didn't give that power to nobody but his son Jesus. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. It's a personal relationship with God. And I know a lot of us, as old-time missionary Baptists, don't like that word. But I'm going to tell you tonight, that's what it is. It's a personal relationship with God. It's personal because it's between you and him and nobody else. I can't tell you you're saved tonight. As much as I love Brother Moran, I can't tell that he's okay. But he knows, just like I know. I know about my own salvation because I worked it out with God myself. I didn't have to have Brother Moran to tell me I was okay. But it says much more then, being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. Lost individual, there's a wrath coming for you, and that wrath is hell. That hell that we're talking about tonight is that lake of fire. That fire's not going to be quenched. Where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Brother Bobby, tell me a little bit more about this hell. I believe you're going to have to be scared. You want to be saved? And I don't know if anybody in here is lost besides my daughter, and that's because she told me. Brother Bobby, ain't nobody else in here lost. How do you know? But tonight that I was lost and realized I was lost, there was a pain that set up inside my heart and set up inside my soul that I had never felt before. It was a pain, and as I've told many people, I don't like pain. If I get hurt at work, I hate pain. I don't want nothing to do with pain, but there was a pain there that night that I couldn't do nothing about. Nobody else could help me with. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe that pain was so great. Why? Because I believe God's people was praying for me. I believe God's people was praying to God that I wouldn't be able to sleep, eat, or do anything. I think we need to get back to that point, don't we? We wonder why lost people is not moving. I'm going to tell you why lost people is not moving, because that's God's people is not moving. You want the Spirit of God inside your building like it needs to be? Get in touch with God before you get to church. Didn't know it was going to go this route, but that's all right. God saved my soul to do a job. God saved your soul to do a job. Your job is not to be a bench warmer when you come to the house of God. People ask me all the time, "Brother Bobby, why you got to preach to church all the time? Listen to the Lord, and I wouldn't have to." But I look back at me growing up at that time, I was lost. I remember getting to Sunday school that morning and not even having Sunday school. Why? Because brothers and sisters was already on the altar before Sunday school even started, praying for the people that was lost. Praying for me. Why? They had a burden. Oh, you start talking about burdens today amongst children of God and they don't want no part of it. Oh, to mess up our happy little life. But I'm going to tell you tonight, our happy little lives don't matter tonight. But my daughters and anybody else in here is lost and undone without God, it matters. So what if I lose a little sleep? So what if I don't get to eat? But when that lost individual comes up off the altar and thanks the Lord for saving their soul, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth for us to sacrifice just a little bit of time? But we can't, can we? We're too busy doing the things that the God of this world wants us to do. Brother Bobby, I come to church every Sunday and every time the doors are open. Amen. But that don't mean that as a child of God, you are where God needs you to be. Huh. There is therefore now no condemnation. If you want to read it, it's chapter 8 of Romans. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. When you got saved, when I got saved, it made me free. Shouldn't we give the Lord a little gratitude? Shouldn't we give the Lord a little time? Oh, but this world, they don't want us to give the Lord a little time, does it? If we give the Lord a little time, somebody might talk about us. Oh, if we pray and thank the Lord for our food while we're eating lunch at work, somebody's going to talk about us. They're going to make fun of us. What did Jesus tell them? And I'm going to paraphrase here. He said, just remember, they talked about me first. They made fun of him first. But what did he do? He walked on. What are we doing? Crawl over in the corner and hide. Why? Because the Spirit within us is not where it needs to be with God. Quiet in here now, ain't it? Why? Because it's the truth. Just remember, as my uncle always said, you got one finger pointing out and you got nine more pointing back at you. Oh, I'm in the same boat. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Paul said it's a constant warfare. So, how do we get right with God? I'm going to use a word that we only use for lost people nowadays. We got to repent. You want to get right with God and get where God wants you to be, then repent to God for what you've done. But I've done that. I've done that when I was lost. Oh, but you got to do it as a child of God too. Repentance. We don't like to hear that word, do we? Hard for us to say, I'm sorry, isn't it? But sometimes I got to look to God and pray to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And when I say I'm sorry, the Lord just loves me. You see, the God of this world is having a time of his life right now. He's fighting tooth and nail. Why? Because he knows his time is coming. So why is he fighting? You look at the damage that he's doing to God's churches today. I know one church right now that might have seven members to it. I know another church over in West Virginia, Fairhaven, I think they've got 6 or 7. I'm thankful tonight that we got all these faces sitting in this audience. What's that let me know? Somebody cares. You say, well, why are you preaching this? Because being a lost individual is a serious business. Lost individuals need to see a light within us as children of God. They need to have a reason within themselves to believe on this only begotten Son of God. If we don't give them a light and give them a reason to believe, who are they going to believe? Who? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me reread that. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Bible teaches us that us, the children of God, need to be spiritually minded. Put on the mind of Christ. But we want to keep the carnal mind on. This world has become a busy place. And I'm talking busy. I'm talking so busy, there's times that I don't get to read my Bible every day like I want to. Because I'm worried about getting the worldly things done. But you see, the fact of the matter is, tonight the worldly things don't matter. Why? Because they're going to burn up. And guess who's going to burn up with them? Turned 41 years old this past November. I've always heard the older you get, the wiser you get. I agree with that to some extent, I guess. It depends on the individual and how much they want to know. No, Brother Moran, I don't think he'll mind me using him tonight. But I look at him as a very, very, very knowledgeable preacher. I can see the evidence of him putting his time into studying his word and praying and asking God to give him that. I know I'm not going to know. I'll never know everything that this man over here knows. But I'm going to strive to. So what's that mean? That means I'm going to have to take some time out of my busy schedule. And I'm going to have to put forth some time for God. You mean I got to do that through the week too? Let's look at the big picture here. I come to church. I go to church. I'm at church for 2 hours on Sunday. I'm at church on Wednesday night for an hour. Isn't that enough time? Is it? I'm guilty of it. You can judge your own selves on that one. God requires more time. If you want to know what this says, as I told a friend of mine the other day, you want to get in and read his word and understand it, you pray before you do it. Because when you pray and you know you ask God for leadership and guidance and wisdom, the Lord's going to give it to you. The more you read, the more you study, the more you pray, the more God will open unto you. I'm not going to learn this book overnight. You're not going to learn this book overnight. But in order to stay where God wants us to be as children of God, we need to have our head in the book. Sundays don't cut it. Yes, church is the most important thing in your life that you can do. But you're not going to get everything you need on Sunday morning listening to him preach. It requires more. You that are lost, well, I guess this would go for everybody. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. You want to get saved? Don't rely upon yourself and your own understanding. Don't rely upon your own mind and your thoughts. Say, well, I'll get saved tomorrow, or I'll get saved in a couple of weeks. When the Lord draws you, that is the time to seek after him and be saved. Don't put it off. Why? Because you know not the day nor the hour that the Son of Man cometh. So, while us the children of God are out lollygagging and having fun and fulfilling our fleshly, blessedly desires of the world, lost people are dying and going to hell. Well, I can't save them. No, we cannot. But we can lose a little more sleep over it. Not my will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God saved us for a reason. You that are lost, you've got an opportunity to be saved. As I said, not to repeat myself, but as I said, it's not on your time, it's on God's time. And under his conditions. But you must place everything to the side. I believe with all my heart tonight, because I've been through it, I've experienced it. In order to be saved, you cannot be thinking about anything else but being saved. Us as children of God, if we want to please God and be in the center of God's will and where God wants us to be and spiritually minded, then if we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, as Hebrews teaches us, because it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we've all sinned no matter who we are. In order to get back in God's good grace where we need to be, we need to repent. This went a whole lot different than what I thought it was going to, but that's okay. God knows what's needed. It's one of the messages I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I don't like going to a visiting church and preaching. Why? Because it makes me look like the bad guy. But I had a pastor to tell me one time, said sometimes the Lord will bring a visiting preacher in to preach them things because they won't listen to the pastor. I'm starting to understand what he said. Sometimes I even wonder if they're listening to me. But I will tell you this. On the authority of God's word, and I cannot tell you exactly where it's at right now, but God, the Bible says that one of these days the Lord is going to clean his church up. You may not like what I preached, what I've preached tonight. You may not like what I've touched on. But I'll tell you this in love. The Lord knows what's needed everywhere and across this land and country. He knows what's needed. If a preacher comes in and he rawhides you, you thank the Lord for it. Because I'm seeing less rawhide nowadays and more God is love. And I believe that God is love. But God is more than love. My God's a just God.
My God is a God of vengeance. You know what? My God also gets angry. My Lord also chastises me. I've said it many times. If I could take my jacket and my shirt off and show you my back to where the Lord has chastised me, I don't want to be chastised no more. I love you all tonight. You that are lost, I love you. You say, well, you don't know me. I don't have to know you. When the Lord saved me, He placed a love in my heart for every human being on this earth, no matter who you are, what you look like, what you smell like. It don't matter. I love your soul tonight. I'm concerned about where it's going. You say, well, you got a daughter too, but I'm going to tell you, if there's somebody else in here that's lost, their soul is just as important as my own daughter's. If you're a child of God tonight and you need to repent and you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, there's an altar up here. If you're lost and the Lord is dealing with you, there's an altar up here. You don't have to come to the altar. But if that's where the Lord is leading you, that's where you need to come. Mine was in the back seat of a car. I know another older brother, his place where the Lord saved him was on a well house. So you see, it don't matter where you're at. It's wherever God leads you to seek after Him. Don't put it off, because if you want to be in the box of safety, you're going to have to be saved. If you want to die and go to hell, the easiest and the best way to do that is just to sit on your seat and ignore God. Ah, don't tell them that. It's the truth. You want to go to hell, just sit on your seat. God's people, you want lost people to go to hell, just sit on your seat. It's easy. But I wouldn't want to be in your condition. Brother Moran, that's all I've got tonight.